Oh, I forgot to give. Hallelujah. You did an awesome job, honey. Before service, I'm like, oh, I need to get someone to do announcements. I'm like, okay, well, he did a good job. He did a great job. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Before we get into this, let's turn to somebody and say, are you ready for this? Ready. Turn to somebody else, say, are you ready for this? Ready. Glory to God. Amen. Your nice-looking body of Christ in here this morning. Glory to God. Let's turn over, well, let's pray first, and then we're going to get into the Word of God. Father, thank you, Lord, for this service. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing that always meets us here, for your presence in this place. Right now, Father, we dedicate this time to have ears to hear and a heart that understands, Father God. Thank you, Lord, that we will walk out of this place changed by your power. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Let's turn to Isaiah 54. This has been our theme scripture for this year. We've been quoting it a lot. We've been quoting mainly the Message translation, so we'll start there, and then we're going to go into the King James Version. We quoted it once today, but it's going to be good to get an understanding of what the Word is telling us. So here we go. We're going to start with clear lots right there, kind of in the middle. Clear lots of ground for your tents. So clear lots of ground for your tents. Make your tents large, spread out, think big, use plenty of rope, drive the tent pegs deep. You're going to need lots of elbow room. Can we have that in the King James Version, please? Hallelujah. God is good. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine inhabitations. Spare not. Lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes. We can have the next verse. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. So let's start out with what a tent is. We know in our mind what a tent looks like. The Israelites were familiar with what a tent was. It's fragile. It's temporary. When you use a tent, you are usually traveling. You have left somewhere. You are going some other place. Maybe in our culture, we use it to go camping. That means we're not there for very long. It's temporary. Amen? So let's just start to kind of dissect this verse down. So this says in the King James Version, it said, enlarge the place of thy tent and let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitations. And the Message, it says, clear the lots of ground for your tent. I have a funny story. So one time when I was growing up, who has those funny camping stories? Every time you go camping with family, there's going to be something that happens. So I went camping with my mom and dad and my sister, and we set up camp, and we went fishing. It was a beautiful day, and we made some dinner on the fire pit, and it was really exciting as a kid. We went to sleep, and in the middle of the night, I thought there was an earthquake that happened. It was either that or a plane was crashing in my head. Come to find out, all of a sudden, I heard, choo-choo, we had pitched our tent not far from the railroad track. So all of a sudden, I mean, the ground was rumbling. I mean, it was really scary as a kid. So in the morning, of course, we changed where we had placed our tent, but glory to God. So, yes. All right. Enlarge the place of thy tent, the place of your tent. Where are you pitching your tent? Where have you placed your tent? We need to know that. Where are we pitching our tent? Let's go to Genesis 13:7. And this story kind of is in the middle of Abram and Lot, and they have both been enlarged, and God had been blessing Abram. And know what? You can be blessed by association too. Lot was blessed because he was associated with Abraham. But something started to happen. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. There was strife. Turn to your neighbor and said, there was strife. Somebody else, there was strife. We know in this church, James 3:16. And we can turn there real quick, James 3:16, because we need to get this on the inside of us. Hallelujah. Amen. What happens when we see strife? When some of these little things start to pop up in our lives, start to pop up in our homes. For where envy and self-seeking, let's go to King James. I think it says the word strife in King James, please. But we know what self-seeking is. For where envying and strife is, we need to get a revelation of envy also. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Really, Lord? Every evil work? Really, Father God? Every evil work? Strife, when you let strife in your tent, every evil work will follow? That's what the Word of God says. So strife showed up. So we have Genesis 13. We can go down to verse 12 here. Hallelujah. So they decided, know what? Abraham said, know what? Lot, you pick, and we'll just get this settled. You pick. You have first choice here. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. You can go to the next one, that's fine. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Abram and Lot, they chose the site of which they would live, their habitation, their tent. The Bible didn't say Lot said this or that, but it does talk about his actions. It talks about what he did. You can see where he set his vision, where he set his life to look toward, where he pitched his tent toward Sodom. Where are we pitching our tent? Where are we gazing at when we open up our door or in our life? Where are we setting our eyes to every day? Amen. Hallelujah. In Genesis 9:1, you don't really have to go there. Well, yeah, let's go there because I didn't write it all down, so I don't want to misquote something. And the Lord, 19:1, thank you. I'm like, Noah, we're not Noah. Yep, 19:1, please. Genesis 19:1. So we see that Lot, at the very beginning, he set his tent, he pitched his tent towards Sodom, but really, we get over to Genesis 19, and there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. So now, he is not only just pitching his tent and looking to, he is an actual leader in Sodom. So I looked up some commentaries here. One commentary said, the gate of the city is often where the elders and the leaders of the town would gather to discuss the issues of the day and provide wisdom and guidance. Though Lot is an immigrant to this region, he sat in the city gate, and his welcoming of these visitors showed that he clearly holds a place of importance in Sodom. This speaks volumes about Lot's relationship in that culture where he lived. So where we pitch our tent, where we are looking to, where we are gazing, where our vision is every day, has an outcome. There's something that happens in our life when we place those things before us. We're going to take a look at that compared to Abraham now. Let's go to Genesis 13:14. There's a very stark difference between the two. Genesis 13:14. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him. So Lot was separated. This is the Lord is speaking to him after Lot was separated. There's some people in our lives that we need to separate ourselves from so we can get a fresh vision of what the Lord wants for us. The Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes. Hallelujah. Lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. We can go to the next verse here. For the land which thou seest, to thee I will give it and to thy seed forever. Hallelujah. He had to get that person out of his life. He had to cut that cord. He had to, you know, break ties with this person. And after that, he got this new vision from the Lord of where his life was headed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And in verse 18 there, it says, then Abram removed his tent and came to the dwelling in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built an altar unto the Lord. So he moved his tent. It was time to move, time to separate, time to get some distance. And he built an altar unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We need to set things right in our life, in our habitation, in our houses, and get those things that we need, the people out of our life that we need out, so God can give us clear direction. Hallelujah. And we need to set up an altar of the Lord in our life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God says, lift up now thine eyes. Amen. Let's go back to Isaiah 54. We're going to see this next section of verse. This is still in verse 2. Isaiah 54. In King James, you guys can remember, okay, in King James it says, enlarge the place of thy tent, stretch forth the curtain. Oh, spare not. Spare not. In the message, it says, think big. It says, spare not. It says, think big. If we can have that in NIV, I really like how the NIV says this. Hallelujah. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch forth your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Hallelujah. Look at somebody. Say, do not hold back. No. Don't hold back. God is saying to us, don't hold back. Hallelujah. Genesis 15:5, we can go over there. This is when Abram has finally moved his tent. He's built the altar unto the Lord. Genesis 15:5, NIV, if we can have that in NIV also. Hallelujah. The Lord's already been speaking to Abram, and now he's going to speak to him again. He says, he took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. This is when it looked impossible for him to have a child, when God was telling him this. Hallelujah. And God is telling you this morning. It might look impossible, but lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. He's getting your vision from one place, maybe inside your tent and your habitation and your house and how your family's always been. He's taking you outside and he's like, look, I'm God. Nothing you ask of me is going to be too much. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't hold back. Don't hold back. In 1 Kings 19:20, we don't have to turn there. Elisha killed his oxen. He burned his plow. He followed Elijah, the prophet. He destroyed his business. He walked away from everything that he's known. He burned his plow. Nothing holding back. That's a good example of nothing holding back. He's not holding back anything. Hallelujah. He's all in. What we say today, all in. We're all in. Hallelujah. There's a story of Cortez, the great Spanish explorer. He was having trouble with his men that wanted, they were discouraged. They were worn out. They'd been traveling for so long. They finally hit land. They wanted to go back home. And Cortez was afraid that they were going to retreat and take all the ships. And so he figured out a solution to that. He burned down the ships. Went out and burned down the ships. That's called being all in. That means there's no retreating now. So it's either do or die. You need to move forward at this point. It's being all in. Pressing on. Not holding anything back. What's holding us back? What in our life is holding us back? What are we holding on to that we have one hand over here and one hand over there, and we're stretched in between these two things? What is holding us back from really doing what the Lord has called us to do? Amen. We need to figure that out. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's go back to Isaiah 54. Let's see this next portion, what the scripture is telling us this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. Let's go back to the New King James Version. I know, Tian, I'm taking you everywhere with these different versions this morning. She's so good at doing all that, because I don't know how to do that. So, all right. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitation. Spare not, glory to God. Lengthen thy cords. Lengthen thy cords. Lengthen thy cords. In the Message. Hallelujah. If you can turn to the Message real quick, please. In the Message, it says, clear the lots of grounds for your tent. Make light. Spread out. Think big. Use plenty of rope. Plenty of rope. And I was asking the Lord when I was preparing, Lord, how can we apply this to our life? Use plenty of rope. You know, because the idea is tent is our life, our habitation. Okay, I get that. Think big. Okay, we can do that in life. Okay, we can do. But use plenty of rope. What are we supposed to be? So anyways, God reminded me of this scripture. Let's go to Ecclesiastes 4:12. We'll do this in the King James Version here. Because we always interpret scripture with scripture, amen? Amen. Oh, 4:12. Sorry. 4:12. And if one prevails against him, two shall stand withstand him, and a threefold cord is not easily, not quickly broken. Let me read that again. And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Hallelujah. Let's look at that in the Message. By yourself, you're unprotected. That's where Satan wants to keep you. He wants to seclude. He wants to get you away from all the family and friends and everybody that you know. And you can see that when people start to back away, you can see something is not right there. Because that's what the enemy wants to do. By yourself, you're unprotected. With a friend, you can face the worst. Amen. Can you round up a third? A three-strand rope isn't easily snapped. Hallelujah. So can we interpret this as people in our life? People in our life? These people connect us from the tent of our life and our habitation and what's going on. These people connect us to the foundation. They stand in that gap. These people that God has placed around us. To have these battle buddies in our life, people that you can call, the people that are godly, hallelujah, not the lots in our life, but godly people that God has placed around you. Glory to God. We have a lot of people in here, hallelujah. And we need to be making those relationships and having these people around us, because at some point in this rope of life, there's going to be tension. This life is erected, this tent is erected this way. We have this rope of these people and these relationships on our life, and we are hopefully connected to the foundation of God, amen, and the Bible and the Christian walk, hallelujah. But there will be a time when the winds blow and the storms come on through, get rattled a little bit. And what do those people do around you? They are surrounding you. They are strengthening you, hallelujah. We need those people in our life, because at some point there will be tension that's put on this rope. Hallelujah. And as our life grows in different things, we can strengthen and we can get bigger and we can have this length to our rope. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. This next portion, strengthen thy stakes. Strengthen thy stakes, it says in the King James. Message says, drive the tent pegs deep. There's something that happens when our life starts to grow and we start to spread out, and the size of the tent has to do with the size of the rope and the length of the rope compared to the tent peg and how deep it is. If you only put that tent peg in there this much, we all know what happens in Bullhead City. That wind comes. There goes your pop-up, landed on someone's car. That's happened to me before. So tent pegs only going in this, they need to go in deep. That's why we put that rope around that ice chest or whatever you have to do to know what, this is not going anywhere. We are grounded. There is a foundation that this is stuck to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord just reminded me of another funny story. I'll just say it right here, of where we have our tent placed, where we pitch our tent. One time we were camping with Ricky's brother and sister, also my brother and sister-in-law. We're sleeping in the middle of the night. We start hearing all the shuffling, kids crying, different things. Well, we camped down by the river, and in the middle of the night, the waters rose and their tent was flooded out. So it makes a difference where we pitch our tent. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We need to be thinking of that. Lord, is this the place I need to be having my life? Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Driving those tent pegs deep. Hallelujah. Let's go to Matthew 7:24. This is what Jesus says about it. Oh, I hear somebody. The next preacher, hallelujah. Raising her up, equipping the saints. Matthew 7:24. If I could have this in NIV, please. Thank you, Tiana. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, is that what we're doing today? Yeah. We're hearing the word of God this morning. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, glory to God, puts them into practice. Woo, takes it on a whole nother level, especially when you hear those scriptures of, love your enemy. Things like that, where you gotta, it says put it into practice. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man. Turn to somebody and say, you're wise. You're wise. You can tell. You're putting into practice. Finally. Finally, thank God you're putting into practice, but yep, you're wise. You got it. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Hallelujah. The foundation. Hallelujah. But there's something that happens before that. We have to hear the word. We have to put it into practice. Hallelujah. And you will have that solid foundation. Glory to God. Let's go to that next verse here. And the rains came down. There it is. In life, the winds start blowing around, the rains come down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall. Hallelujah. Can we say that together? Yet it did not fall. Hallelujah. Because it had its foundation on the rock. It had its foundation on the rock. Hallelujah. Yet it did not fall. Yet it did not fall. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And when it feels like this wind and this rain is coming against you and your life, hallelujah, you say, I have a foundation. I'm in the word. I'm reading the word. I know what the word says. I will not be moved. Hallelujah. Unbreakable. Glory to God. Because my foundation is on the rock of Jesus Christ. Yet it did not fall. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. When we have our ropes ready, when our foundation is pegged down deep, when we have our pegs down into the foundation, when our habitation is pitched in the direction of God, hallelujah, there's something that happens. And let's go back to Isaiah 53. We're going to, 54, I'm sorry. And then verse 3 around there, it says something. It says something that sometimes we've been maybe saying over, and this is King James Version. It says something here. For thou shalt break forth. Hallelujah. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and the desolate cities to be inhabited. Break forth. There's a breaking forth that will happen in our lives when we are pegged down to the foundation, glory to God, of the word of God and what he's telling us. Hallelujah. Breaking forth. We need a break forth in our life. We need a break forth in the things of that Lord is telling us to do. A break forth in our relationships. A break forth in our marriages. Hallelujah. A break forth in our kids and how to parent them correctly and what the Bible tells us to do. A breaking forth in those things. A breaking forth in our finances. Hallelujah. A breaking forth in our health. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And it's always about the next generation. It says, thy seed shall inherit. There is an inheritance. There's something that we do now, that we are blazing the trail, that we are working through those things, that we're cutting down the brush so that our seed has somewhere to go. Our seed can walk farther than we did. Amen. Thy seed shall inherit. There's an inheritance when we live for the Lord. There's an inheritance when we have things and good friends around us in our house pitch the direction the Lord has wanted us to go. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's about that next generation. And it's about restoration and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Restoration. Restoration. God restores. God is the Redeemer. Hallelujah. Restoration. Hallelujah. Let's go over to Joshua 7:3. And the second portion of this scripture, we're kind of in the middle of a story with Joshua and the people of Israel. They just defeated Jericho, and they're coming up against another city. And Joshua has heard what they need to do. So this is Joshua 7:3. And you can probably just do King James or NIV is fine too. Yeah. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, for there's about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite. So it's a small town, so they're not going to send the whole army. They're just going to send a portion of the army and smite Ai. And make not all the people to labor hither, for they are but a few. So there went up hither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. It changes so drastically. They went up. It was supposed to be something easy, but then they fled before the men of Ai. We can go to that next scripture here. For the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men. 36 men, for they chased them out before the gates, even into the town there, and smote them in the going down. Therefore, the heart of the people melted and became as water. Something happened. They just took Jericho. There's this little city, and something happened between Jericho and Ai. Something happened. So Joshua seeks the Lord again. Ai just struck down 36 of their men. Israel lost the battle. Joshua tears his clothes and seeks the Lord and gets direction. And Joshua starts searching the camp. He finally comes to the tent of Achan. And Joshua 7:20, we can do New King James on this one, please. Joshua 7:20, he gets to the tent of Achan. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. And this is what I have done. When I saw among the spoils of beautiful a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them, and there they are hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent with the silver under it. The midst of my tent. What is in the midst of our tent? What is in the midst of our households? What's happening behind the doors? What's happening in our hearts and in our lives? What's happening when those doors close? It's called integrity. If you can do outside in front of everybody compared to what's inside and what's inside your heart. That's called integrity. What's happening in the tent? God is concerned about what's in the tent. What is the intent of our heart, if we can say that? Is there sin in the tent? Is there things that we need to get right before the Lord? Hallelujah. There's a couple things that sin always does. It lies, first of all, because it's from Satan, the father of lies. It will tell you, no one will ever find out. When you hear those words, when that thought crosses your mind, you better take that into the subjection of Jesus Christ and put it under. Hallelujah. Because that is a lie from Satan. Numbers 32, 23 says, sin will find you out. The next lie is, it won't hurt anybody. It's not going to hurt anyone. No one will know. It won't hurt anybody. That's another lie from Satan, because sin will always hurt somebody. It will hurt you, and it will hurt others every single time. We need to get it out of our tent. We need to get it out of our lives. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, and with the temptation, I will also make a way of escape. Hallelujah. In the kids' room, we've been learning about the blood of Jesus for the last 4 months. So if you need to learn about, if you need to know something about the blood of Jesus, guess what? Ask your kids. Ask any one of those kids coming out of that kids' room, because they know the power of the blood of Jesus. They have been, and so now we have just switched over to the power of the Holy Spirit. So get ready, hallelujah, because there is power in the blood of Jesus and there's power in the Holy Spirit. And we've been talking the last 4 months about the blood of Jesus. And there's been several times at that instance where Moses tells the people of Israel to kill the lamb, because there's something bad's going to be coming, and they need to put that blood on the doorpost of their house. And that's like us. God is saying, you need to protect your house. You need to protect your habitation. And we need to be applying that blood of Jesus, hallelujah, over our doorposts and saying, you cannot enter here. Hallelujah. We have taken a stand. It is a symbol. It is a symbol, hallelujah, saying that I have the authority and I know the power and I know who I trust in, and glory to God, the blood of Jesus is over my house. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. There's power in that blood. There's power in that blood. I'm going to have the praise and worship team. We can get back up to the stage here. Today we are doing communion. It is Communion Sunday. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God, for this word. We're going to do a little bit of teaching as they start getting ready for that and start getting ready for the communion. And since we're talking about the blood of Jesus, I'm just going to roll this right into that. In Corinthians 11, 23, well, actually, I'm going to go down to verse 26. Oh no. Can we move this here, like maybe back a little bit? Thanks, you guys. They're amazing. We have such an awesome usher team. Corinthians 11, 26, for as often as you eat this bread, this is Jesus talking, for as often as you eat this bread, and I'll just have you guys lightly play as you guys get ready. And drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till I come. Therefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink the cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of Jesus. That's a strong scripture. That's a strong scripture. It says, whoever, wherefore, whosoever, that means you and I, we're a whosoever, shall eat this bread and drink the cup of the Lord unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Wow, that's a strong scripture. Amen. Verse 28, but let a man examine himself. And that's what we've been talking about all this morning, examining our lives. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat that bread and drink the cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. Woo, Jesus, you're going deep on these verses. Not discerning the Lord's body. And then verse 30 is very interesting. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Is that because we have been not examining our life and getting things right? Not getting those things out of our life, cutting off those ties and those ropes to the people that haven't, that we need to be getting out of our life? Maybe the sin that is holding us back? Thank you. Hallelujah. We need to be getting that right. Glory to God. And as they are passing this out, let's just repeat this after me as they're passing this out. Say, Father God, I come to you in Jesus' name.
I come to you in Jesus' name.
I see that I have sinned.
I see that I have sinned.
And I need you in my life.
And I need you in my life.
Your word says.
Your word says.
If I confess with my mouth.
If I confess with my mouth.
That Jesus is Lord.
That Jesus is Lord.
And believe in my heart.
And believe in my heart.
That God raised him from the dead.
That God raised him from the dead.
I will be saved.
I will be saved.
So right now.
So right now.
I confess with my mouth.
I confess with my mouth.
You are Lord.
You are Lord.
I believe in my heart.
I believe in my heart.
That God raised you from the dead.
That God raised you from the
I
dead.
I repent.
I repent.
And turn from my sin.
And turn from my sin.
And make you Lord of my life.
And make you Lord of my life.
Thank you for saving me.
Thank you for saving me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. If that Amen. Is your first time praying this, then we want to get some more materials into your hands. We want to celebrate this time with you for making Jesus the Lord of your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Corinthians, I believe it's 1 Corinthians 11, 23. You can put that on the screens here. 1 Corinthians 11, 23. For I have received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's do that one last scripture here. And when he had, in the same manner, he took the cup. Sorry, 25 I think is good. And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, glory to God, in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Hallelujah, that's what we do today, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that we examine ourselves. That we do this in remembrance of you. The bread represents the Lord's body that was broken for us. He walked this earth in a physical body. In that body, he taught along the seashores. He sailed the Sea of Galilee. He went on doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And that body was broken for me and for you. That body was beaten with 39 stripes, whose stripes we are healed, according to 1 Peter 2:24. That body was hung on a cross, taking our place, buried in a grave, and raised again. Hallelujah. That body is the living bread. This is a symbol of the living bread. Hallelujah. Can you get that out? This is a symbol of the living bread of Jesus' body. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." That's John 6:51. The bread of life. This is the symbol of the bread of life. Hallelujah. Yes. Father God, as we partake in this communion, that we see this as the bread of life, that we are taking a piece of you, life, into us. And I thank you, Jesus, that your body was broken, that your stripes were placed on your back. And as we eat this, if there is any healing that needs to take place, Father God, we thank you, according to 1 Peter 2:24, by your stripes we are healed. We were healed. Jesus' mighty name, let's break and eat. Hallelujah. The cup represents Jesus' blood that was shed to establish the new covenant. The new covenant. The new covenant is a better covenant. And our forgiveness of sin. We know from Hebrews 9:22 that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Someone had to shed their blood. And it was the spotless Lamb, hallelujah, Jesus. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace.
Thank you, Father.
Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set free to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sin.
Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for shedding your blood. Let's raise this up. Lord, we take the symbol of this juice that we have here today, and Lord, we place it as a symbol over our life, as a symbol over our tent, as our habitation, Father God. Lord, that we apply the blood, that we plead the blood, that we declare the blood of Jesus, just like they did in the old with the blood of the Lamb over the doorpost. Hallelujah. We do that with our life right now. We say, this blood of Jesus, cleansing power from sin, redeeming power, hallelujah, protection in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And as we do this, Father God, remember what you did for us when you shed your blood. We give you all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Let's partake.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus, for your blood. These walls that we see the people as the way you see them, the way you love them, that we enter the mission field when we step out of those doors. And I thank you, Jesus, that as we meet people, that we can speak to them the way that you want us to speak to them, that we can love them the way that you want us to love them, that they will be called into the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the only way, the answer to life. Thank you, Father God, for this service today. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' mighty name, can we all say amen?